Today's Bible reading is from Psalm 30. I will exhort you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me from the realm of the dead and spared me from going down to the pit.
Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. Lord, when you favoured me, you made my royal mountains stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed.
To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help.
You turned my wailing into dancing and removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. My name's Jonathan. I forgot to say that a little bit earlier, one of the pastors here at Seeds. A couple of things I wanted to just briefly say as well, that is to welcome back all the teenagers that have had such a great trip. Far out. All the photos going on and things and all the stories I heard from the morning service. How good was that? So if you've been on the trip, fantastic. If you haven't, I think that's one to look forward to. Also, I've seen some photos too from yesterday's Brush with Kindness, and thank you to the many volunteers who went out and served. I saw some familiar faces there serving away, and I heard it was well received. So thank you to those who went and did that. Let me say a prayer. Lord, we acknowledge you as Lord of this place, Lord of this church. We ask with humbleness in our heart that you might open up your words to us, that we might hear truth and life from you. I pray that it might be your words we hear, Lord, not my words. That it be your thoughts that resonate deeply with us and sustain us for this week ahead. May we hear your voice. In your name we ask. Amen. The story is told of a visitor to the famous Californian Yosemite National Park, which is the vast wilderness set aside by, well, in part by Abraham Lincoln and Theodore Roosevelt. And the story is told of a visitor who obviously pushed for time, didn't know how to see the whole park. And so he went to a ranger and said, tell me, if you have one day to view this park, what would you do? And the ranger, without beating an eyelid, said, I would weep. And it's exactly that as we come to the book of Psalms, as we begin to explore these incredible chapters that have been given to us from our past heritage, as we look at 150, over 150 weeks, I'm only joking, over 5 weeks of what these Psalms mean to us, what they do to us. And we have such a grand view of God from the Psalms. The riches and depths that we can experience here in the book of Psalms are unrivaled in their beauty, in the way they nurture us and bring us into a different place. The Psalms challenge our view of God, and they give us a picture of God that is so magnificent and grand that we should be left awestruck and humbled by what we read there. We can expect to be changed when we read the Psalms, and I often mutter these words, and I'll say them out loud today, but when we come to the book of Psalms, we should be like what Charles Wesley said, Charles Wesley's famous words, lost in wonder, love, and praise. So today I'll lead us into a season of hearing the Psalms. For the next 5 weeks, we will sit with these various aspects of the book and let it wash over us. Let it take away the bumps in our life. Let it smooth the corners of us. Let it distill us into being something different than what we were. But more than that, in the Psalms, we find all our emotions and feelings captivated and expressed from thousands of years ago. And in it, we see that those people who lived all those years ago and those people who wrote these Psalms were in touch with exactly the same issues going on in here that what we are today. And that what is most particular is most universal. That the resonance that they had back all those years ago is the same resonance that we have today. The needs that the things they're struggling with, the issues that were going on for them, in a sense, are the same as the issues that were going on for us as well. So we go to the Psalms to find a voice for what's going on inside and around us. And that's why I've called this series At the Coalface. At the Coalface. So we go to the Psalms with our joy, with our grief. We find empathy and solace. We go to the Psalms to find a whole host of emotional experiences that resonate with us and that can give voice to what we are struggling with. I'm fortunate to be sharing this series with the Reverend Tim Hind. Do you know Tim? Tim's a really good friend of mine, and we've been friends for a long time. He's a lecturer at Uniting College, so let's not hold that against him too much. He'll be here next week, and then in a couple of weeks' time. And he's got some really good things to say. And when I invited him to come, Tim, would you come and share this series with me? He was like, when is it, Jonathan, and when can I be there? Because he wants to be here, and he's delighted to be invited, and he's revved at the topics that I've given him to come and share with us. But here's the premise, and it's a startling, you've never heard this before. My premise is this, that the Psalms speak today. I told you it was startling and you never heard it before. That the Psalms speak to us today, that we can learn about our life now from this ancient wisdom, this ancient book of praise. And even though it represents some of the oldest Old Testament writings, they still are powerful for our life now. Let me give you an example. Who doesn't resonate with Psalm 23? I don't know how many times I've read it in I don't know how many funerals I've conducted, and when people ask me to say it, I say, you beauty, I want to say that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How wonderful is that? And my words, they're just my words, my voice speaking out God's words, and it goes and it connects with people in their moments of grief. Who would have thought 2,500-year-old words would still speak through an amplification system in a modern context? What about, who doesn't like singing 10,000 Reasons based on Psalm 103? Who hasn't been moved by hearing Psalm 121? I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Boy, they're powerful, aren't they? They're so powerful. There is so much in there that speaks to us today. The Psalms are written for worshippers to use in public worship. And the name Psalm, it's got a really fascinating Hebrew name. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. Literally means a song that is accompanied by a stringed instrument. We've got it sorted, haven't we? Songs accompanied by string instruments. It happens every week here. They're models of prayer for a wide variety of circumstances. Some were sung at various services and festivals in the life of Israel. They contain pictures of God or pictures of hope that God will send a Messiah to redeem his people. They are written by a whole host of authors. King David, of course, wrote heaps of them. And we'll have a look at one that he wrote today. King Solomon, even Moses. Did you know that? Moses wrote one of the Psalms. Anybody know that? No, Psalm 90, have a look. You can see Psalm 90, Moses wrote it. Some more unknown names, Asaph, Heman, the sons of Korah, although we know a bit about them, but that's probably a different sons of Korah than ones we've seen performing. And even someone by the name of Anonymous. He wrote a lot of Psalms. He's still writing stuff today. You know, I get a bit sick of saying that this part or that part of the Bible is complicated, but it's actually the truth. That God's Word is not always straightforward, and there are a whole host of reasons for that. One being that there is a time distance between the culture of the writer and then several thousand years later, us as we try and understand it. So when we read things, we try and read them through our lens, but we forget that history has shaped and turned, and there's been a whole pile of different things that have been going on. So the words that were meant then, we struggle to understand. I better not do a Roger Brooke and fall off the stage. I heard the story. We struggle to understand those words in the context that they were written. So we've got to do some work to understand what's going on. So that's why there's some difficulties going on. But also these, let's not forget, these are God's words. And I don't know anybody yet who understands fully the mind of God. It's meant for us to struggle and wrestle with them. It's meant for us to think about them, to meditate on them, to study them and go, what is going on here? What's happening? What is God intending? And then as we do that, God unfolds more light and truth, and we see further and we understand a little bit more. So this series at the Coalface is meant to pick up some of the Psalms that we can use in our own lives, our own spirituality. But more than that too is that maybe I can give you some tools to decode the Psalms a little bit. I mean, you think there is 150 of them and they talk about all sorts of different things. Will you eviscerate my enemies? And that's putting it nicely. And then God, like, I love you so much. You know, you're so wonderful, like a big fluffy thing. Do you know what I mean? Like there's whole piles of different genres of the Psalms going on. And I'm trying to give you some tools to be able to understand them. My friend and mentor, some of you might know him, Graham Humphreys, he says to me, Jonathan, if you've got a hammer, everything looks like a nail. I'd like to put a few more tools in your toolbox so that you don't have to hammer every single thing. But there's another way to understand the Psalms and what's going on amongst them. There are lots of ways to look at the Psalms. Some scholars divide them into five distinct books because there are five blessings or benedictions at the end in five sort of irregular parts. And so some say, well, that's a good way to split them. Others split them in different ways, and you know, you get 30 scholars and you've got 31 different ways to be able to put them apart, you know. So I'm going to go with the tried and true method, which is an old way, into dividing them into five different themes as we talk about at the coalface and understanding our emotions at the coalface. And the five themes are this: praise, psalms of praise, psalms of thanksgiving, psalms that are royal in intent, psalms of lament, and psalms of wisdom. They're the five different ones we're going to cover over this period. And as usual, there's too much information to pack it all into 5 weeks, but we'll do our best, and maybe a little bit later on we can come back and we can do some more on that. So let me get right down to it today. Today we look at the coalface, at Psalms of Praise. And there's a lot of stuff we need to learn here, and I want to challenge you on this. So be prepared. If you don't want to hear a challenge, turn your hearing aids off, go and have coffee, go somewhere else, because I'm going to lay it down for you. I'm going to ask you to do something in particular. There's a lot in the Psalms about praise, and they're connected with us in many ways. They're descriptive praise ones that are often used in public worship. They proclaim the activity of the covenant God in salvation history. Big long words, which mean that God is working in our world to save us. And He has been since the beginning. And the Psalms give credit to that and say, God, you are good for doing that. You are good for all that you have done in what's going on around us. But in particular, when we talk about psalms of praise, I want to talk today about individual psalms of praise, expressing our individual admiration for who God is and what God has done for us, singular, us, not plural, us, me, I, just us. We use the I language in this. So, it's for us, particular for us. Here's something that I can use to express my emotions. Have a look at Psalm 30, the psalm that was read out to us. So if you've got your Bibles, you want to open them, or if you've got your smart device, open that up. This title tells us that it was written for the dedication of the temple, but I could be ours. So we'll just push that all aside and we'll just leave that for another day. Interestingly, have a look at the many times David uses I, me, and my, and he does it over and over again. Let me pull it apart, and you'll see why God is worthy of praise according to David the psalmist. Verse 1, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths. You did not let my enemies gloat over me. Verse 2, Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. Verse 3, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Pit is a code word for hell, Gehenna, dark place. Verse 11, just jump to verse 11. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and you clothed me with joy. Can you see that he has a personal reason to praise God? God has stepped into his individual life to rescue, to heal, to save, and then verse 11 gives him joy. This is personal to him. This is not something that's happening out there. It's not something that he's saying for the whole nation. It's not something that he's saying for all that's going on in the society around him. This is not something that he read online on somebody's blog post somewhere or something like that. I'm sure King David had no access to the internet. Not something he read on the Jerusalem Weekly or something like that. This is his reflection. And what we're getting is really King David's private diary. And it's like we are allowed to open up the page and to read what was going on for him personally. We see his heart. We see what's happening for him. It's personal. My friends, this is a model for us to follow. For God is worthy of our praise, our individual praise. He's worthy of all our individual praise. He does not step into our lives. He does step into our lives all the time, even though we struggle to see it. So let me ask you the first of a series of questions. Who gets the credit for the good things in your life? Who gets thanked when things run along nicely and there are no speed bumps in your life? Who gets the credit when the last week happened and there was nothing memorable in that in terms of memorable negative? Let me give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I had a bit of a cold. And like most of us, my man cold was so bad, I nearly needed to call an ambulance. Yeah, you get it. I have a brother here in the front row. I don't know about you, Grant, but I had to take Panadol morning and night. It was that bad. And it was terrifying. I was nearly dead from blowing my nose. You can't underestimate, these man colds are desperate, they're deadly on us blokes. And no, seriously, if your man has a cold, then you need to get him to the nearest A&E straight away. It's really serious. But you know, the best thing about being sick, I know it's an oxymoron, the best thing about being sick is being better. Yeah, it is. I've got it written here. The best thing about being sick is, disagree with me if you want, the best thing about being sick is that first day when your aches and pains have gone, when the vice has been taken off your head, and when you're not like, oh, where's the next box of tissues going to come from? Do you agree with me? The best thing about being sick is being free of it and going, wow, how good is that? You don't know how good you are, you don't know how well you are until you've been sick and then you're well again. Agree? God gives us so much more than what we ever acknowledge. How many breaths have you taken on good lungs since you walked into this building with clean air? How many of us are going home to a house, a place we can call a home? How many of us have got food in the fridge? How many of us have got paid employment tomorrow? How many of us have got a superannuation or a pension scheme that puts money into our account? I don't know about you, but I haven't seen too many gunshots going off in the streets of Adelaide lately. I haven't seen any tanks rolling through the place. I haven't had to pass a checkpoint. I haven't been controlled in where I want to go. Have you noticed that in Adelaide? And I tell you what, I look at what's going on overseas and I see that incredible stuff with the refugees and I think, my goodness me, God, how good you are. I don't know why you've blessed us like this. I don't understand what we have done to deserve what we've got, but I thank you so much. I am so grateful. But my heart breaks as we see what goes on overseas. You know what I discovered this week? I twigged to something that some of us are growing old. Yeah, I knew that one. But growing old is a privilege, not a curse. Because so many people don't get to grow old. And all those things that happen to our bodies and we go, oh man, I'm getting old. I should say, thank you, God, that those things are happening to my body because it means I'm living longer. How good you are to bless us with that. We have far more than what we ever appreciate. Do you agree with me? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So here's a challenge for you this week. You ready for it? Here's a challenge to drive you towards the coalface. I wonder what we would write if we took some time to nut out our own personal psalm of praise, just like King David did all those years ago. So, I'm going to set you some homework. I'm going to set you some homework for this week to write a psalm of praise. And I've given you 10 things to be grateful for. You could quickly write 1,000 more things, maybe 100 more things, of things to be thankful for. I want you to write it down, and I'm going to be checking. No, I'm not. I want you to write down. Now, it might be that you've got little kids. Why don't you do this as a family? Why don't you engage your family to write your own family psalm of praise? It might be that you struggle to do this. Do it in your home group and write a psalm of praise. But here's the kicker. I want you to write a personal psalm of praise and then I want you to share it with somebody. Share it with your neighbor. Share it with your best friend. If you haven't got one, send it to me. I'll be your friend. No problems at all. I like people. I'm happy to be lots of friends to lots of people. If you've got enough courage, put it on Facebook. Put it on the Seeds Aberfoyle page and share it with someone else. So that your blessing, your understanding of blessing, your understanding of how good God is, your grasp of the coalface reality at this moment is not just personal to you, but like King David, you bless someone else and you say to others, how good is God in my life? I want to share it with you. I want you to know. We are so blessed. We have so much to give praise to God for and we forget. Let's record them this week. I challenge you to do it. I'm serious. You're looking at me like, oh, yeah, he's come with this crazy idea. I have, and I want you to be part of it, and I'll do it too. That we will reflect the praise of God from us personally. Our personal praise is to give God the glory. Now, you might think that I've just made this up as an Old Testament lesson. Let me prove to you, this is a principle that runs through the Scripture. Luke 8, Jesus has got off the boat and he is confronted by the demoniac in the I can never pronounce the name of the place, Gennesaret. Do you know how to pronounce it? Gennesaret? I was close, was I? Okay, good enough. In the tombs. Okay, and Jesus is confronted by this man and he heals him. You remember the story? Luke 8. And he heals him from all the demons that were in him, and he's found in his right mind that all the chains are off, all the shackles are off, and he's there in his right mind. Luke 8, 38. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, verse 39, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. See, I'm not making this up. This is a biblical principle. This is something that Jesus desires us to do in our life. To give him praise. To show the glory to him. To say, I acknowledge you in my life. You know, all of us stand today on the verge of another week's opportunity to share how much Jesus has done for us. You might think your life is not as you would like it. You might think there are things that are not going well for you. You might think that by this stage, you should have been a long way further in life. You should have been have a partner, have more money, more assets, more education, more prestige, a thousand other things. You might think that in your life. But let me tell you the truth. God is worthy of your praise where you are at this moment. And you are a redeemed child of the King. Jesus has imputed his righteousness in you. You are clean before him. This is the truth of the gospel. That the saving grace of God is enough for you despite all your lumps and your bumps and your scars and all the baggage. That you get to stand before him and he says, I love you. My child, you're mine, and I want you. And God has done these and more things in your life, if only we would see, if only we'd take a moment and understand. And these things are given to us as a gift to share to others. So what do we want our week to be about this week coming? We get a choice of the direction of our week. Do we want a week of restlessness in what we don't have, what we don't owe? Unhappiness, disgruntled with what we think we owed? Or could we choose another path? A path that we were made to walk? A path of extolling God's glory personally? Personal praise, saying, God, you are God, and I'm going to acknowledge it. Being thankful for the many things that we have despite all that's going on in our life. Do you know, when we do that, when we live in an attitude like that, when we say, God, you're worthy of my praise, do you know what? That affects others as well. And it affects them for good. And it encourages them, and they notice, because this world is anything but about being satisfied with what you got, about being thankful for what you got, about being encouraged with what God has done for you. This world is about, I got to have more. I need more. I want more. And as soon as you do something different, you change the rules. I love these early mornings, especially this time of year. Early mornings are my favorite absolute time, because no one else is up. It's great. It's fantastic. But I love this time of year, particularly, not just because the sun's getting up earlier, but when I go into our backyard and there's no breeze, I can smell something in particular. We've got a jasmine bush in our back. You know what I'm talking about? We had a jasmine bush, and the scent is heavy in the air, and it permeates the whole place. And because there's no breeze moving early, you know, before the sunrise normally, it just sort of hangs there. You know, you get big lungfuls of it, and it's beautiful. But this little plant, well, it's not so little anymore. It needs a big haircut. This little plant sort of hangs over our neighbor's fence as well. And so if they want, they can get some of that beautiful smell. Breathe it in. And it affects not just me, not just my family, but the neighbors too. And as many neighbors as would like to smell it. It's hanging all around. You know, when you live, when I live with praise on our lips, conscious of what God has done for us, we are like that. We affect others for good. And we make a big difference in the world around us. Well, next week we pick up more things. We're going to talk about wisdom and Psalms of wisdom. But I want you to remember this. When we give Jesus the praise that's due to him, not only do you change yourself, but you have a positive influence on all those around you. And you bring so much more to this world than what you take. I don't know why, but this week this little verse has been on my heart, and I want to end with this. You might have heard it before, this ancient hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand.